Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. The Dog Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest. Invisible Fence for the life of your pet. Check out InvisibleFenceNW.com to learn about their indoor and outdoor solutions for both dogs and cats. And the Dog Talk Show is also brought to you in part by All the Best Pet Care. All the best food, treats, and toys for your dog and cat. Check out allthebestpetcare.com to see where all of their locations are around Western Washington. Speaking of All the Best Pet Care, I have a talk coming up tomorrow night. How to get your dog to do what you ask. We'll be talking about motivation and your relationship with your dog. The importance of play. It's going to be a great talk. Loads of fun. Lots of great information and also lots of great perks for guests who show up. Coupons, samples. We're going to do some free drawings for prizes. So this is at the Ballard location right on Market Street in Seattle in Ballard. And it's tomorrow night, Thursday the 10th at 7:30 p.m. So if you can make it, we'd love to see you there. And if you would be so kind as to call the Ballard store and let them know that you're coming, that would be not required, but appreciated. Eric, how are you doing?
Good. I'm doing all right.
Good. I love
fall. It's a beautiful day, yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, cold. There's just something right about cooler weather, but that's my New England blood talking, so.
Yeah, well, you know, great day to take your dog for a walk.
Indeed. A good point. So we, Eric, have a great show today. We have a guest with us today, Kimothy Schultz, who we're going to be talking about food and nutrition, one of my favorite topics.
Absolutely.
So let's bring Kimothy on. Hi, Kimothy.
Hi, how you doing, Julie?
Good. Thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure.
So we have something in common in that, well, we have, I think, a lot of things in common.
I think so.
But you also have a talk tomorrow night.
I know. That sucks. I can't come to your talk.
And I can't come to yours.
Dueling talks.
Well, Kimothy's is at the Redmond Schoolhouse Community Center in Redmond. And it's from 7 to 9, and it's part of the speaker series through the AHELP project, which is the Animal Hospice and End of Life Palliative Care Project. And the title of the talk is It's Never Too Late for Better Nutrition. So this talk is going to be, you know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there'll be information that people can take from this talk, even if they don't have an older pet.
Absolutely. It'll apply to, you know, both dogs and cats, but we'll also zero in on issues that may be troubling and solutions and help for ill and animals that are getting ready to transition.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very important topic and a very important aspect of living with pets that I think has, you know, gets a voice is this end of life. You know, it's not the most comfortable conversation and oftentimes painful for people, but I think it's so important to talk about it.
And you know, the more we know about it, it doesn't ease the hurt anymore, but there is a better sense, I find, of a little bit better peace and a little bit more like you're doing something to be more involved with it to help.
Mm-hmm. So if you're feeling like you're needing some nutrition, informational injection about nutrition, Kimothy's talk is the place to go. And if you're feeling like you're more leaning towards relationship and motivation, then come to All the Best in Ballard.
Or if and it's then we'll just have location. To have a weekend, you know, sometime where we both talk.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be fun. And all around. Well,
that's
you
right.
Said you need at least 8 hours for just your full nutrition talk. So.
Oh, I have a great full day nutrition talk that I really love. Very, very empowering.
And this is something that you offer that organizations or groups can actually hire you to put on your full nutrition seminar.
Individuals, groups, organizations, anybody that, you know, wants to help spread the word.
Yeah. Well, Kimothy's website is kimothy.com, and that's KYMYTHY.com, and I'll post a link to
Mom
that.
Mom was weird.
I'll post a link to that on the Dog Talk Show homepage, which is dogtalkshow.com, and also another link to the A-Help Project website. And if you want to listen to my interview with Michelle Nichols, who's the founder of the A-Help Project, you can just go to the podcast page on dogtalkshow.com and scroll back a few months and look for Michelle Nichols. And that was my her first time on the show. So, Kimothy, now you've been working in the field of nutrition for years, and you started actually in the realm of humans. Is that right?
Yep, I sure did. Became very passionate about nutrition because of the way it helped change my life. I was born with a lot of health problems, and I feel like I've spent most of my life in doctors' offices and hospitals, and have been diagnosed with all sorts of fun things. I say that very sarcastically: multiple sclerosis and a lot of different problems. And you ran the gamut of doctors, all different specialists. And you know, looking back now, knowing what I know now, and looking back, you know, not one of those doctors ever talked to me about nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never thought there was any need to associate, you know, the problems that I had with what I was eating. And then it had gotten to the point where I had to quit my job. I couldn't work anymore. And one day, a ex-coworker said, "Hey, why don't you go check out my doctor? He's a real pioneer in nutrition, and you know, maybe he'll help you." And when I think back, I so could have said, "Not another doctor. I'm not doing it."
Mm-hmm.
But I did. I went to see him, and at the time, he was a real pioneer in nutrition. A lot of his ideas now are more mainstream. And just to give you a quick example of what a difference nutrition can make. He looked into my eyes, and you may have heard of iridology before. I was fairly new to it then. He looked into my eyes, and he says, "You have lumps in your breast, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I've been diagnosed with fibrocystic breast disease." And Julie, I hear so many women telling me these days, "I have that too." And he, in the course of talking to me about all kinds of stuff, well, he laid out the diet plan. And really, it was just a species-appropriate way of eating. It was how my human body should be eating, with some tweaks specifically for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I had these very painful lumps in my breasts. And my regular doctor had said, "Yes, you have fibrocystic breast disease. Learn to live with it. It'll get worse as you go along. It'll get more painful. You'll end up wearing a bra to bed. It'll be really bad. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to cure it. Learn to live with it."
Mm-hmm.
"Thank you very much, doctor."
Mm-hmm.
And then this new doctor who sent me home with a new way of eating, which I thought, well, I'm desperate enough to try anything. Here, mm-hmm. let me try this. And I'm not kidding you, day 10 of changing my diet to whole foods, there was not one lump in my breast.
Wow.
Completely normal, pain-free. And silly gal that I was, I ran back to my regular traditional doctor and said, "Doc, feel me up. Check it out. Give me a breast exam.
Mm-hmm.
All the lumps are gone." And he did. And he was so puzzled. And I told him what I was doing. And the only thing he said was, "Well, you better be careful about that."
Yeah.
Needless to say, that was the last time I saw him. So that put me on the path to studying human nutrition, and of course, being nutso my entire life about animals, it took me directly to, well, my gosh, if nutrition can make such a difference in my life, what could it do for my animal friends?
Mm-hmm. And you know, and in this day and age, with the state of pet food, you know, I mean, it's a reflection of the human food industry. It's just a step down.
It's a great place for the human food industry's waste products.
Right. And the thing, and, you know, gosh, I've talked about this a number of times over the years on this show. But it's just like, the reason why is because every, you know, weekly, if not daily, I come in contact with clients as I'm working with dogs in the capacity of training and behavior, because I'm always asking them what they're feeding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, it's like this constant battle. So.
Oh, and don't you find if you do, you know, talk to them about nutrition and they, you know, take your advice and feed better food, don't you find that the animal's behavior really changes?
Sometimes dramatically.
Yeah, I've found the same thing. I've had people come up to me at some of my seminars, and besides the physical things that I hear about all the time from people, the improvements that they have found, it's always wonderful to hear about the behavioral improvements also. You know, we were going to have to euthanize this dog. The dog was snapping at people. It couldn't focus. Mm-hmm. And, last-ditch effort, we decided to try your suggestions, and we have a companion now that we love and can live with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's remarkable the difference that it makes, and it's also remarkable to me how... Well, you know, I guess how effective the pet food industry is in fooling people. And one of the things that we're going to talk about today during this interview is, the whole world of labeling and how misleading that is. And I also want to talk, when we come back from break, talk about what you mentioned, your species-specific diet and how you actually got on a human one. And I'd like to talk about what that means for dogs. And also how the two compare, since we have evolved so closely over so many years. But let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more with Kimothy Schultz on The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
How many times can one dog pee? Keeps me high as an eagle when I'm on the skids. I guess you gotta come down eventually.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, I'll be off doing my Kriya Yoga initiation, but there'll still be a live show. The first ever Kevin and Kim Sunday. Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, will be in the studio filling in for me. With Kevin on board, it's bound to be a ton of fun. And of course, Kim will take your phone calls. Please join him for Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
For more than 25 years, All the Best Pet Care has been helping people choose the best foods, treats, and toys for their dogs and cats. They are a locally owned family business bringing about little miracles every day by following the Mother Nature model of nutrition. Stop by to meet their adoption cats, schedule an anesthesia-free dental cleaning, or bring your dog to the toy testing area. Visit their new store in Edmonds next to the PCC and their expanded Redmond store in the Whole Foods Plaza. To learn more, go to allthebestpetcare.com. or follow them on Facebook.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we're back with Kimothy Schultz, who's the author of a number of books, one of them being Natural Nutrition for Dogs and Cats. Welcome back, Kimothy.
Thank you very much.
So we're talking about, you know, nutrition. And one thing that you were talked about in your for your own body, and also what I'd like to talk about is for dogs as well, is the idea of a species-specific diet, which we're actually starting to see on some of the bags of food in part of their marketing. But what does that mean to you, and what, you know, what are we really designed to eat, and what do our bodies thrive on the most?
Well, I think in my first book that you mentioned, one of the vets that wrote one of the forewords to the book put it so simply. And, you know, the pet food companies try to make it seem so complicated that we poor little dumb people can't manage to feed our animals well. But it is as simple as what this vet said when he said, all you need to do is look at the digestive design of any animal to know what it should eat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that just almost sounds just too simple, but it is that simple.
It's a little too obvious, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that might not sell the right stuff.
Right.
But if you take a look at the way, inside and outside, a way that any animal is built, where are its eyes? Are the eyes on the side of the head, such as an herbivore prey animal's eyes are? Or are the eyes on the front of a head, such as a hunter's eyes would be?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of teeth does that animal have? What kind of digestive system does that animal have? Does it have claws? And you know, all these things really tell us pretty plainly what sort of diet that animal should have, including us kind of animals.
What they were literally designed to eat.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's just when you think of it so simply like that, which I believe it really is that simple, obviously different animals were designed to eat different things. If every animal was supposed to eat the same thing, you know, Mother Nature wouldn't be lasting long. We need to spread it out. So different animals are made to eat different things. Your listeners, I'm sure, can easily see how a whale is not supposed to sit in a eucalyptus tree munching on leaves, and a koala bear doesn't scoop up plankton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really obvious. But all the different animals are designed to thrive on specific types of food.
Mm-hmm. So what are those for dogs?
Well, dogs are carnivore, and that will raise a lot of hairs on the neck of especially a lot of pet food companies, because a lot of them have tried to convince us that they're omnivores.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, you know, it's good that they put in all these other things that aren't really species appropriate. But also, I think it's really easy to mislead people into believing that they aren't carnivores because they say, oh, well, you know, an all-meat diet would be really bad for a dog. Well, that's absolutely right. But being a carnivore doesn't mean that that animal would eat only meat.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there are no rump roasts running around in the forest. They wouldn't have just meat in their diet. Likewise, just because a cow takes up bugs and other forms of animal protein when they're grazing on grass doesn't make them a carnivore. They're still herbivores.
Right. So dogs are, I mean, and, you know, I mean, look at their teeth, right?
Exactly. Well, look at their eyes.
Yeah.
How they look forward. Look at their teeth. They don't have big molars like a you know, a cow or a horse does. They have teeth that are made for ripping, tearing, shredding. They have a fairly short intestine system so that you can get food in and get it out quickly. It's really a brilliant design when you consider that a dog and its close relatives, the wild canids, sometimes will eat not so fresh food,
right?
Something that's been buried and stinky, and we think it's gross, and they think it's delicious. But that makes sense, that if you gulp something down that might have bad bacteria in it, well, then you have really strong digestive juices that get to work on it, and you have a short acidic digestive system so that it gets out quickly, too. There were studies done many, many years ago in Europe that showed that when dogs ate a species-appropriate diet of raw foods, it was in the intestinal tract for, 4 to 6 hours. That's not total time from mouth to the other end, but basically in the intestines for about 4 to 6 hours. Compare that to to, and they found along with that, that the intestines were in really good shape, good tone and elasticity. Compare that to kibble. And the kibble-fed dogs, that kibble was in their intestines for 14 to 16 hours and totally stretched out their intestines to be many times longer than they should be, and they ended up lacking all sorts of tone and elasticity in their intestines.
Mm-hmm. So what? One thing that it seems to be that I come up against when I'm talking with people about food is, you know, breeding in dogs that have such sensitive digestive tracts or that seem so compromised that they...
I'm not surprised we have those problems.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, well, what I understand that this is an ideal and many, many dogs would really thrive on this type of diet. But it seems like there's a lot of dogs out there that can't even tolerate what they were designed for because they're so messed up genetically.
Well, although I always go to food first and I will always try a species-appropriate diet, of course it depends on the individual, but I can't tell you, Julie, how many cases of, besides doing seminars and lectures, I do private consultations too,
mm-hmm.
and people can find out more about that at my website. But I have so many people coming to me with dogs with exactly the problems you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically this new disease that didn't used to exist very long ago, of irritable bowel disease,
right.
irritable bowel syndrome. Remember that in the days when those things didn't exist? I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now there's tons of dogs with these problems, and most of the time, a basic species-appropriate diet does heal the dog. Sometimes we ease them into it. Sometimes we add some supplements to help.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's never too late for good food.
Yeah. And that's the title, basically, of your talk coming up tomorrow night. It's never too late for better nutrition.
And it applies not to certainly animals only that are, you know, in the dying process. But, I mean, my gosh, when I first started feeding real food to my animals a couple of decades ago, the first dogs that I switched were senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were adult dogs. Who had, you know, various problems that, I hate to say this, but nowadays people are calling these kind of problems like normal, you know, like, oh, ear infections and hot spots and fleas and parasites and picky eaters. And it's just awful to think that I hear so many people talking about these sort of problems as if they're normal,
mm-hmm.
and they aren't.
Yeah.
They're red flags from the body going, hello, help
yeah.
me.
Something's yep.
wrong. So, you know, a lot of people will say, well, can I switch my adult dog that's been eating, you know, brand X chow for so long? That's what I did. And my guys dove in like, what took you so long?
Yeah. So, and you made a point earlier, you said, you know, we don't see, when we're talking about cows, we don't see rump roasts running around in the woods, or, you know, chickens are not just a chicken breast. Or,
right.
you know, they're not just muscle meat. So when you're talking about a carnivore, then
I think of dogs as opportunistic carnivores.
Yep.
Meaning that their body is made up to be a carnivore, but carnivore does not mean meat only.
Yeah.
And also, they're opportunistic. Hey, something floats along that looks good. Is it edible? Let me see.
Yeah. I know my dogs certainly fall under that category.
Most do.
Oh, they love fruit and vegetables, and they do well with it, too. I've never had digestive upset as a result of...
Well, you know, even their wild relatives. Hey, when berries are in season...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, around here, you know, we have, where I live, I have a lot of coyotes and foxes, and I can certainly tell when they've been raiding, you know, the berries, because that's what their poop looks like.
Yeah. Yeah, so... So, you know, we're talking about raw food, and there's a lot of people who, you know, just can't wrap their brain around it or won't get off of kibble or don't feel like they have the time. Or so what are some things that people can do to...
First of all, let me say something bold.
Okay.
And you know, I don't say things like this often, but I really want to be honest. You know, what would you say to someone, Julie, if they said, I have a dog, but I don't have any time to house train it. I don't have any time to take it for a walk. In fact, I don't have time to feed it. I don't have time to do anything with it. So what should I do?
We shouldn't have a dog.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying if you can't feed raw, don't have a dog. But I am saying take this seriously, please, because it is part of the responsibility of caring for a dog person.
Yeah.
For this little being in a fur, or big, as because I have noofs and they're big, this being in a furry suit deserves what they should get. They came in this form on the planet, and just because it doesn't fit into your, you know, what you have on your agenda, please give it serious thought. Mm-hmm. If you've taken on the responsibility of caring for this life, then please think it through. You and I both know they need training. They need your time and your love, and they also need species-appropriate nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
As close as you can get, as much of that training as you can get, as close and as best as you can do.
Yeah, and they all, yeah, oh gosh, this is just a whole nother show, but they want to be a part of our lives. They, you know, they're not just a little adorable stuffed animal that's there waiting for us when we get home from a long day to just love on for a couple hours, you know. And
I think it's a tough topic. I think they are one of the, well, I think animals in general, and you know, and we certainly share a passion for dogs. They are one of the best teachers on the planet about how to live life.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the more I listen to my dogs, the more I learn from my dogs, the better person I am.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes talking more with Kimothy Schultz, who's the author of Natural Nutrition for Dogs and Cats. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may think my dog will always come through.
Your dog has digestive upset.
You want answers.
Your dog has itchy skin.
You want answers.
Your dog has kidney disease.
You want answers.
Your dog is overweight.
You want answers. Go to AnswersPetFood.com to find the answers as to why you want to feed Answers Pet Food to your dog with these issues. Answers Pet Food. If you have questions, we give you answers.
Family-owned since 1975, Dr. Don's Automotive has been awarded Best Auto Repair from Seattle Magazine, Seattle Weekly, and Ballard News Tribune. Dr. Don's Automotive offers a free 35-point inspection. It's winterization time. Remember to have your coolant, tires, brakes, hoses, and belts checked to keep you and your dog safe this winter. Visit drdonsautomotive.com for more information or call 206-782-6303 to schedule an appointment. Mention this ad for 5% off parts and labor. Dr. Don's Automotive, expert auto repair and service with the honesty of a dog lover that you can trust.
Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Do you know there is an insurance company that offers great rates, quality service, and cares about your furry companions? Progressive will help cover the cost of your vet bills if you and your pet are involved in an accident. Call the good guys at Eastside Insurance, who represent Progressive Insurance and other fine companies. Contact Tom or Chuck at e-z-insurance.com for a free quote, or call 877-817-4103. Eastside Insurance, where you and your pet can rest insured.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
As much as I love you, but you may have my dog will.
You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back with Kimothy Schultz, who's author of Natural Nutrition for Dogs and Cats. Welcome back, Kimothy.
Thank you for having me.
So we're talking about responsibility in feeding, and that sort of is a big can of worms for responsibility in general as far as meeting your dog's needs otherwise. Energy, both mental and physical, training, interaction, socially, etc. But today we're talking about nutrition, so let's stick to that one.
Let's try to get back to that one.
Yeah. So, you know, we're talking about the species-specific diet and how dogs really are designed to eat primarily meat, and that to say that they are carnivores does not necessarily mean that they are only supposed to eat meat, that they can't eat fruits and vegetables and stuff like that. But you also make the point that carnivore in the wild doesn't eat just muscle meat. They might eat the contents of the digestive tract. They eat connective tissue, organ meats, bone, etc.
Lots of bones, sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. In fact, I did a lot of wild canid study, and which was just fascinating. And it's very interesting, of course, to study wolves, which are basically our dogs are domesticated wolves. They are so close. In relationship DNA wise and otherwise and all wise, and wolves will eat a whole animal if it happens to be a small animal. They will take down. Of course, we know we've all seen the National Geographic, you know, videos of wolf packs taking down a big animal, and actually, contrary to what some people may have heard, that they go for stomach contents first, and that's where you would get all that vegetation. Actually, the world's foremost authorities on wolf behavior and feeding behavior in particular say that what they really prefer to do when they get a hold of the stomach is shake all those contents out and avoid them until they've eaten everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be getting meat, bone, organ meat, and every part of that animal that they can get into their gullet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they if there's anything left over, they might come back later and eat that too. So it certainly is more than meat. There are other things in that diet. Now, of course, today, you know, our dogs aren't out hunting in packs and aren't taking down wild animals. So the best that we can do, I think, in our own domesticated homes is try to feed them foods that meet their species' appropriate requirements. In my own home, that would be a good quality protein and bone source with a very small amount of vegetation.
Mm-hmm. So no need for grain, so carbohydrates in the form of grain or potato or anything like that.
No, and you know, it's so interesting to me now to see how so many of these companies have hopped onto this wagon. Do you know, Julie, when I was the first person to say that dogs and cats shouldn't have grains in my first book way back when,
mm-hmm.
When I wrote it a million years ago. And I was really targeted. They wrote hit pieces about how that was messed up because, of course, the leading big boys of commercial pet foods were all grain-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't want that getting around, I'm sure. And so now it's, you know, it makes me smile when I look all over and see all of this grainless. And it's like, oh, you guys really got on me for this when I first brought this up. Although what concerns me now is all of the packaged foods that say grainless, and what they are not is free of lots of starch.
Mm-hmm.
And so they kind of fool people in saying grainless, and people go, oh, I've heard that's good, and grainless makes sense to me because, yes, carnivores, like our dogs, grain really doesn't enter the picture into a natural diet for them. So, okay, grainless food, good. Let me look for that on the label. Read that label carefully because most of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, they've replaced the grains that you would have recognized with all sorts of starches, everything from potatoes to tapioca to, you know, just all sorts of other types of starches, which, same thing, carbs, carbs that are not needed. Do you know that in the Bible that in the NRC guidelines, which is basically, you know, the food Bible that pet food manufacturers use to formulate their products, it even says that dogs have no nutritional need for carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they in there?
Well,
cheaper than protein, meat sources.
Right. Cheap source of energy.
Yeah. Well, and actually, dogs don't use them very well for energy because they are not a species-appropriate source of energy.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to Cornell University's vet school in New York many years ago, there was, out of all my professors, there was one that was not a paid employee of a pet food company. And he actually was a sled dog musher and did a lot of his own nutritional studies on his own time and started some early studies on what did provide the best energy sources for dogs. And he found that it certainly was not carbohydrates, just as it is said in their guidelines for food manufacturers, but yet good quality animal fat and good quality protein made an energy source that was much more usable, gave the dogs much better stamina and endurance. And Julie, that's something that I've noticed. I noticed that right away when I switched my Newfoundlands over to a species-appropriate diet that dropped, you know, a bunch of those carbs, was that my Newfoundlands had much more stamina and endurance because I have a working breed that should be able to pull that boat, swim for a long length of time.
Yeah.
And I really noticed a difference there.
Yeah. We just talked last week with a couple guests about drafting.
I heard a little bit about that. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. So, no starch, fruits and vegetables. Okay. But mainly we're
focusing. Let's not get carried away with the fruit. You know, fruit in season is nice, but I have seen people get so carried away with the fruit that they actually will feed what may have been an existing yeast or fungal problem. If I had a dog, and I'm, you know, personally, if I had a dog with a few different sorts of degenerative diseases wherein that those disease cells feed on sugars, I would avoid fruits also.
Yep.
If I had a dog with cancer.
Okay.
If, you know, I had a diabetic dog, I know a dog that started out very, very healthy, and their people let him eat all the plums that fell from the tree.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of that may have been just fine, but he just gorged himself, you know, every day that he could find them. And he ended up, with a systemic fungal infection. And he's not the first dog that I've seen do that. Also, the vegetables, above ground veggies, yes, they can certainly add some good nutrition. But I almost think, Julie, that sometimes humans think, gosh, you know I should be eating more vegetables, but I don't really like them, so I'm going to give them to the dog. And I find that sometimes people also go overboard with the vegetables. And yes, a little bit of that, okay for the dogs, but let's not go overboard. Sometimes I see it really throw off their pH balance in their gut and create an over-alkaline environment. And when we do that, it leads to sometimes malabsorption of nutrients and some other problems.
What do you think about raw goat's milk?
I don't see a need for a dog to be drinking the milk of a different animal unless it's been abandoned by its mother. But, you know, we're the only freaky animals that drink some other animal's milk.
Yeah.
Because milk, you know, is basically a hormone-packed substance that is made to nourish a growing baby of that species.
Yeah. So what
and
about, like,
I sure understand its use, you know, if you have an orphaned baby animal.
Yeah.
But if you have, you know, an adult animal, I don't see any need for any type of dairy product. I don't see it as a natural food for them.
So what about the angle of the enzymes and the balancing of the gut flora and all that stuff?
Well, if that's an issue that you need to address, probiotics can be very useful, but I always recommend non-dairy ones.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Now, what a species-appropriate diet can do is to help encourage natural, healthy gut flora, mm-hmm. which, you know, what they say is that most of what we call the immune system starts in the gut.
Yep.
And, of course, that's true. I mean, you know, we think of the gut as basically, you know, digesting food, but it also makes nutrients. It synthesizes nutrients that the body needs, but it can't do that unless it's getting the proper diet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we have a case where, say, we've been having to give our animal antibiotics,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, you know, literally translated means anti-life, and I'm not saying you shouldn't give antibiotics, but I would heartily recommend always supplementing with non-dairy probiotics, a good quality probiotic, because those antibiotics can really do their job, and sometimes that's why you need them. But they will also wipe out all the good guys
mm-hmm.
in the gut, and you need those good guys. Not mm-hmm. all bacteria wear bad hats. Some of those
yep.
are good guys.
Yeah, many
and
of them.
Do you know
yeah.
that you actually need humans and dogs? This may be a surprise. A necessary nutrient, well, necessary bacteria in our gut is E. coli.
Yeah.
And yes, it can get carried away, and then it's a problem. That's why we have to keep that delicate balance.
Mm-hmm.
But some people hear E. coli and go, oh, my God, it's the evil thing that you have to be scared of. Actually, you need it for proper digestion.
Well, and the big name pet foods also use that word as well as salmonella to scare people off of feeding raw meat.
Yes, and do you know that our own Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say that you and I have a greater chance of picking up those bad bacteria from, oh, alfalfa sprouts, shaking hands, going in a pool, than we do from raw meat.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's impossible to find them in raw meat. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be talking more with Kimothy Schultz when we come back. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, your host of The Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats, too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's KemlyElectric.com.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Let Hot Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Artist Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. You can even include yourself in the painting, and you're sure to love the end result. To find out more, visit hotportraiture.net. That's HAUTE, portraiture.net or call Jennifer at 206-661-4538.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
You're listening to the refreshingly different Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. We are back with Kimothy Schultz, who's author of Natural Nutrition for Dogs and Cats. Kimothy's giving a talk tomorrow night in Redmond at the Redmond Schoolhouse Community Center from 7 to 9. It's never too late for better nutrition, and this is part of the A-Help speaker series, and that's the Animal Hospice End of Life and Palliative Care Project. You can find them at ahelpproject.org. And you can find Kimothy online at kimothy.com, and that's kymythy.com. And I'll post both those links on the Dog Talk Show homepage, which is dogtalkshow.com. Also, I have a talk tomorrow night as well, which is in Seattle, in Ballard, at All the Best Pet Care on Market Street. And it's titled, How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. And we'll be talking about motivation and your relationship with your dog. That talk is at 7:30 at All the Best Pet Care in Ballard. So hope to see you there. Both those tomorrow night. So, Kimothy.
Julie, how do I get my dogs to do the dishes?
Didn't I say that like 2 weeks ago when you were talking about this?
Yeah. Vacuuming would be nice, too.
It's easy. You put the dish on the ground and they lick it clean. Yeah.
See, Julie has all the answers.
But how do you get them to dry?
So that brings up a good point, which is dog nutrition versus people nutrition. But before we go there, we were talking during break. You said a lot of times people make it too complicating when we're talking about feeding our dogs a species-specific diet, which in their case would be primarily raw food, whole food, raw meat, and that we tend to overcomplicate things. So talk a little bit more about that.
Okay, well, first, let's just make sure that if people are just coming in on this, they don't think that we think a dog should eat just a meat diet. Just in case they just tuned in, we're certainly saying that it should be good quality meat based, but there are other very important ingredients also. But yes, I think that the notion of making a diet very complicated or sound very complicated is to the pet food manufacturing company's advantage.
Right.
So all of the vets that are employed by the pet food companies and the pet food companies, it's to their advantage to make you feel like you don't know enough. You are not capable of providing a meal for your dog. And that is not true at all.
Yeah.
You are totally capable of providing a meal. It's actually really, really easy. I can get a whole house full of Noofs fed in 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. Do you know what I love, and I am being sarcastic? This whole idea of people food versus dog food.
Oh, that is a real button of mine too. Because you know, when it comes out of the ground or walks around the ground, there's no labels that say for people use only.
Well, that's a dog chicken, and that one over there is
right.
A human chicken.
Although that is how we've made it,
right?
Because you know, so many of the pet food companies use such poor quality ingredients that it actually has become that now.
Right.
That stuff that isn't fit for human consumption.
Right.
That's okay to give it to the dogs.
God, you know, and so many people brag to me when I bring up the you know food in our conversation. Oh well, I never feed my dog people food.
Isn't
like they're and I'm like, ooh, you know. Actually,
well, and you know, there wasn't any other option, Julie, until very, very recently.
Yeah.
So tell me, Julie, which is the new fad diet the one that was invented out of the human food waste industry, called commercial pet food products, which has been around for less than 100 years, mm-hmm. or is it the real food diet that dogs have thrived on for thousands of years?
Yeah.
Which is the new fad diet? And gosh, which one are we seeing all these diseases on? Which one has created whole new industries that we never had before, such as mm-hmm. dentistry?
Yeah.
And all of these new issues that we're seeing in our animal friends.
Yep. So what, you know, we're talking about people food and dog food and all this stuff, and you've done work with both human nutrition and animal nutrition. So where do you see similarities between dogs' needs as species-specific diets and human needs, and where do you see differences?
Well, you know, we hear every day our own health professionals say, and the studies, of course, back it up, that if we wish to live healthier and longer, have a better quality of life, we've got to cut down on the junk food and eat more healthy, fresh, whole foods. Well, the same logic applies to our dogs' bodies as well.
Mm-hmm. But for us, it's more, we're more designed to eat fruits, vegetables, as well as high quality protein and fat.
Yes. Look at the way that we're designed. We do have eyes on the front of our heads, hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an interesting mouth because we have canines and we have molars.
Mm-hmm.
We are great omnivores.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly the quality of the food that we eat is as important to our bodies as the quality of food we put into our dogs' bodies. You know, when I go shopping at the store, Julie, I am picking up food for the entire family, furry and non-furry. Mm-hmm. It's all the same.
What's the importance of or necessity for organic when we're talking about meat?
Well, the same for us. You know, an organic to me isn't the most important, the best we can get. If you can afford it, is grass-fed and finished.
Uh-huh.
That's, in fact, you know, when you do nutrient profiles on grass-fed and, you know, those meat animals that are raised on, buzzword, grains,
mm-hmm.
there's a real difference. The bacteria count in meat animals fed grains goes up. The E. coli rates go up. The omega-3 fatty acids go up in grass-fed and finished animals. You know, the reason that they, you know, give all those grains to those cows is because it fattens them up and you get more for them when you sell them.
Yeah.
It does the same to other bodies as well. But I will tell you this, Julie, that, you know, unfortunately, right now, grass-fed, organic, yes, if you can afford it, go for it. And look for co-ops, look for farms, look for 4-H'ers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all kinds of deals to be had out there, sometimes buying in bulk or going straight to the source. Sometimes I get a whole animal and I get a good deal on that from the rancher themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't afford that, then regular, you know, grocery store meat, just look that it hasn't had anything added to it. Just the meat that you would get for yourself is usually, most of the time, much better quality than anything you're going to get in a bag or can.
Yeah. So whole is key, and as much as
close to nature as you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. And those two models are true for both people and dogs.
You bet.
Well, thanks so much for your time today. And again, Kimothy's talk is in Redmond tomorrow night at the Redmond Schoolhouse Community Center, 7 to 9. It's never too late for better nutrition. And that's part of the A-Help Project Speaker Series. And I also have a talk tomorrow night as well, 7:30, and it's titled How to Get Your Dog to Do What You Ask. We'll be talking about your relationship with your dog and how to motivate your dog using your relationship and what that all looks like. And there'll be free drawings and coupons and samples and such. Kimothy, thanks so much. Again, your website is kymythy.com. And that's Kimothy.com, and I will post that on the Dog Talk Show homepage as well. So thanks so much for your time, and I look forward to having you back on the show soon.
Thank you. Me too.
All right. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.